Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken once again from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. Joshua, chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross the Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, to possess it. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. I'm sure you've heard the saying that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Our modern day times has given us another definition of being linked. In how many ways are you linked to the internet? Your home computer, your laptop, your phone, your television, Alexa or your Google device, through a hotspot. Perhaps you can even find it at a restaurant or in a store like Walmart. Maybe even here at the church building. You find yourself linked to the internet. Why do we have that available to us and take advantage of it? You say, because that's how I Facebook, that's how I read my emails, that's how I communicate. And we are raising a generation that doesn't know what it means to have to wait, not only to say what we want to say, but to hear response from others. It's almost instantaneous unless you've got an internet like mine. And then it may take a while. Being linked. I want you to imagine, as we read now and look at this final half of Joshua chapter 1, the responsibility that has just been laid upon Joshua's shoulders. For 40 years plus, he's walked with Moses prior to the wilderness wanderings and all through them. And yet now Moses is gone. The servant of God is dead. And Joshua has been appointed, not only by Moses, but ordained by God to be the one to lead the people. When they left Egypt, it was 2 million strong. Of course, the generation 20 years and older during the wilderness wanderings has passed away, except for Joshua and Caleb. But there are still many thousands upon thousands, perhaps still totaling or numbering into 1 million plus, of the children of Israel who are in need of direction and guidance. And so this responsibility has fallen upon Joshua, and God is talking to him. And it's not just an easy leadership position that Joshua is assuming. Joshua is going to be a military leader. They've got to conquer the land, as we've seen in this reading. When they cross over the Jordan, they're going to face severe opposition. Joshua knows that firsthand. 40 years ago, he and Caleb came back with the news that the cities were fortified with walls, that the people were like giants, and yet Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it." The rest of the people were not so prepared to walk by faith. But as we see Joshua now assume this role, what are his qualifications to be a military leader, a campaign commander? Has he been to West Point? Has he been trained by the greatest of warriors of the age? How would you prepare Joshua for such a role? After all, he's probably close to 80, might be as much as 85 years old right now, assuming the role of leadership at about the same age that Moses was when he delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. What's remarkable, I think, in this passage is the simplicity with which God instructs Joshua. You want to win, Joshua? You want to be prosperous? You want to succeed? Here is the secret. It's not 2 years, 3 years, 8 years of training. Look at verse 8 with me again. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." I wanted you to look at four concepts in this passage of Scripture as it deals with God's Word. First, I must read it. Second, meditate on it. Third, obey it. Fourth, teach it. Is that not the secret to success today? I have written out on the marquee, "God's Word will make you prosper. Read, meditate, do, and teach it." Now, this is not an unusual principle, and it's not something that's not repeated in the Scripture. Later on, in fact, nearly 1,000 years later, during the time of Ezra, Ezra is commended because in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 it says, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." What if today our nation was to take up this principle? The way for us to succeed is to listen to God. We're going to read His Word. We're going to study it or meditate on it. We're going to obey it. And we're going to make sure that all who come within hearing distance are going to learn about it. And we're going to teach it to the next generation. Read, meditate, do, and teach. You have the lesson, and you probably wish that I would be quiet now that I've given it to you. But we're going to just explore these concepts just a little closer, go into a little more detail. Let me read this same verse to you, not from the New American Standard, but from the English Revised Version. "Always remember what is written in that book of the law. Speak about that book and study it day and night. Then you can be sure to obey what is written there. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything that you do." Here's a military leader, Joshua, the campaign commander, the general, the strategist, being told the secret to your victory is remaining linked to God. What if Joshua had not been a man of God? What would that have resulted in for the conquering of the land of Canaan? Now, one of the things that Joshua has experienced some 40 years ago that we looked at last week in Exodus chapter 17 was the victory at Rephidim against the Amalekites. Do you remember Moses holding up his arms until they got tired, and then Aaron and Ur supporting those arms? And every time those arms were let down, Joshua lost on the battlefield, but as they were raised and held, he won, and it was a victorious battle. But they understood when it was all said and done, it was only victorious because God had delivered them. Here God is telling the secret to Joshua. It's not about military training or strategy of men. It's all about you understanding what my law is, reading it, studying it, obeying it, imparting it to your people. You remain faithful and you will have victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. And then the chorus, faith is the victory. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, describing faith, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Joshua is going to realize as he begins this battle, and I encourage you to read chapter 2 for next week. We won't get all the way through chapter 2, of course, but read chapter 2, and this has to do with the battle at Jericho. But you can already imagine that that victory was given to them not because of the military strategy of Joshua or of history, but by God himself. When the walls fall and the men run successfully over the top of them to destroy the city, Joshua is going to see it whenever they battle at Ai, first losing, then winning. And God actually gets into military strategy there for Joshua. Ambush and wait kind of stuff. Joshua proves true to this directive by God. You read through the book of Joshua, and at the end of his life in chapter 24 and verse 15, he is still faithful to God along with his family and encouraging the nation to remain true to God as he is about to part from the scene. How long does that take? Well, Joshua dies at 110, and as we said last week, if he's in the area of 80 or 85 right now, then the conquest of Canaan, at least what they get done of it during Joshua's time, is easily 25 years and could be as many as 30 years that Joshua leads his people. Notice the difference between what Moses endured in the wilderness with the people murmuring and complaining and being nomadic and roaming from place to place, much like he was a shepherd over a flock of sheep. Here Joshua has 25 to 30 years leading the people as a commander, as a general. And yet, that power does not go to his head. He doesn't forget who his God is, and at the end of his life, he is faithful. We're going to read at the end of today's lesson, or look close again. We've already read it, the last part of this chapter 1. Where Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh talk to Joshua with regards to the charge that he gives them for the immediate crossing of the Jordan, and see just how much the people of Israel trusted this man. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God be for us, who is against us? Paul is 1,500 years nearly since the time of Joshua. In fact, this conquest of the land of Canaan, we believe, starts somewhere around 1406. The Exodus from Egypt was in 1446 or so. And so 1,400 years before the time of Christ, and then we have the establishment of the church, and then the Apostle Paul being converted and being inspired to write the words to the Romans. Paul says, much like what Joshua reveals, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you ever get discouraged? Is the link between you and the Savior weakened? Should we not be strong in the face of trial and temptation? I'm sure you've experienced taking someone's hand. You may have been the one who was the encourager. You may have been the other, the one who needed to be encouraged. But you can imagine holding someone's hand as you go into the midst of a frightening situation. There's a song in our songbooks. We're not going to sing this one. We will sing a different one. But there's a song on page 379 that says, "I walk with the King." Do you think it helped for Joshua to know that Jehovah was with him? We're going to see some remarkable incidents in the book of Joshua and receive much encouragement from his example and his response to God, but also God's directives and guidance to him. "I walk with the King to heavenly land, the kingdom of light, the pathway of right. Eternal his throne, forever 'twill be. To mansions on high, a crown there for me. I walk with the King through pastures so green, by quiet waters still, to do his good will. He lighteth the way from darkness to day. I'll hold to his hand. I walk with the King." Now, the song that we're going to sing, if you have a songbook, 389. 389.
Me once from my poor sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. In my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus.
That's the best of hands to hold on to be linked with, bound, interlocked, tied, knotted, joined, merged, undivided, wedded, yoked. God's word is powerful. It is the secret to success, literally upon earth. Because the definition of success is not how rich you become or how long you live. The true definition of success is whether or not you attain to the hope of eternal life that God has provided. It's the reason for our existence. Paul says that in Acts chapter 17, that everything that happens to nations and to individuals as they come into this world, wherever their location, is for them to seek after God and to find Him. Oh, that we would remember that. Oh, that the world would come to know that. We've got a phrase that we're becoming familiar with. It's entitled social distancing. The evidence of it is before me right now. This auditorium is empty. You're listening to this from the comfort of your home, or perhaps as you travel, if you've got some sort of internet connection or you've downloaded it as an MP3. Social distancing for the sake of safety. It's a sad commentary, isn't it? And yet, there's some truth to that. Because if me retreating to my home, not having the opportunities to be with others, quite as much as I used to can cause me to understand what's most important, my family, my soul. I can treat my social distancing as a retreat, as an opportunity to pray, to study, to grow. Remember, read it, meditate on it, do it, and teach it. The psalmist says in Psalms chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight," verse 2, "this man is blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Our faith has great power when we bring it forth after laying it upon our hearts and meditate on it, and then determined through it to change our lives so that we might live by it. The Hebrew writer says again, this time from chapter 4 and verse 12, about the Word of God, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Have you ever found yourself in a dilemma when it comes to making a decision about a particular activity to be involved in, or a person to grow close to, or a particular occupation or vocation, and you wonder what's right? Quite often, that's because of ignorance of God's Word. It's not that God hasn't been clear on it. It's just that we don't know. The Hebrew writer says that God's Word is like a sword with two edges, and it can pierce and divide even the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What that means to me is that when I meditate upon God's Word, when I have laid it on my heart, I am able to discern from God's light what's right and what's wrong, and make choices accordingly. Joshua, you want to be a leader of my people? You walk with me. You keep your hand firmly grasped in mine, and there is no doubt you will be victorious. What a promise. An opportunity, as we find ourselves with more time on our hands perhaps than we normally have, to pray, to read, to meditate, to be firmly convinced in obedience to His will, and to teach it to our children and to our loved ones. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." The mind is a wonderful thing, and when properly focused, it accomplishes much. And when its intent is to glorify God, it has reached its pinnacle. Not that it can't be taught more. But Paul says, through the knowledge of Christ, I literally take every thought captive. I do my best to see it with God's eyes. When you know what is right to do, do it. Even corralling your desires. In psychology, we learned this phrase: it's easier to act your way into a better way of feeling than to feel your way into a better way of acting. Now, that's evident when we get up in the morning. Do you always feel like getting up? Aren't there times, maybe most times, when you just as soon lay in bed? So what gets your day started? Do you wait until you feel like it, or do you just get out of bed and get moving? It is easier to act your way into a better way of feeling than to feel your way into a better way of acting. In relationships, we often get our feelings hurt, and we respond in ways that are not appropriate. If I can guard my words and my actions in light of what God would have me to be, merciful, compassionate, forgiving, comforting, even when I don't feel like it, then my actions will result in getting my feelings and my desires under control. Just do it. Honor God, and you will be prosperous and successful. Now, to the end now of Joshua chapter 1, as he pulls aside in verse 12, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua says to them, remember what Moses said to you. And what had happened was the land on the east side of the Jordan, toward the sunrise, is how it's described, was a beautiful pasture land. And these 2.5 tribes had requested not to have to cross over into the hill country of the land of Canaan, though that was the promised land. And they said, we would like to just stay on this side of the Jordan. And Moses said, okay, you can do that, but you're going to have to help deliver the land to your brothers. And so as Joshua talks to them, he says, now, your little ones and your flocks can stay over here, but you guys are going to be in battle gear, and you're coming over at the head of the entry into the land of Canaan, and you're going to stay with us until the land is conquered so that your brothers may have rest. Now, there is much in this illustration with regards to our daily walk of us helping our brothers gain the rest that has been promised. And they turned to Joshua and they said, that is well, that is good, we will honor that. Look at verse 16. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Wow, what a statement of allegiance. Beautiful, isn't it? But then listen to what they add to that. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. They said, basically, you walk with God and you've got our allegiance. Be like Moses and we will be for you. In fact, anyone who does, this is verse 18, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Have you ever shared a flashlight? Oh, sure you have. You've been on a dark path and someone else walking beside you, and you've gotten to where you walk close enough to each other, perhaps even side by side, and you use that same flashlight so that neither one of you may stumble. When God said, you read my word, you meditate on my word, you obey my word, and you teach it, God was saying, you walk with me alongside others, obeying my will. Jesus said simply in Matthew chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. That's hiding guidance. That's not helpful. Instead, verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I find great encouragement in Joshua's example, don't you? And it's not without import for us today. For us to see, faith is the victory. When we walk hand in hand with Jesus, when we walk with the King, God says simply, your way will be prosperous and you will succeed. Final words of chapter 1. Only be strong and courageous.